presenter is Judy Firpo-Peretti, who is a fourth-year doctoral student at BU in the Department of Psychology and Brain Sciences. She was awarded a diversity supplement to actually do this work about investigating mother-daughter relationships in women with HIV as part of the WISE study, and we're very excited that she will present this research, which for her is hoping to inform intervention and prevention strategies for at-risk families.
As Marge was just saying, I'm going to talk about a study that examines how quality of parent-child relationships relates to risk behaviors, depression, and coping strategies among both women that have HIV and women at risk for HIV. I have no personal financial disclosures, so I'll move on. Why do this work? We know that the number of HIV-positive women of childbearing age is increasing in the U.S. In particular, some statistics for you. From 2000 to 2006, there was about a 30% increase in the number of HIV-positive women giving birth. And what we also know is that although there are reports that adherence rates are somewhat better among mothers that have HIV compared to women in general that have HIV, there is still poor adherence among this particular population. And some factors for which this poor adherence has been attributed, these include perceived stress, including parental stress and stress in general, at the age of the youngest child, poor self-efficacy as a parent, having poor treatment outcome expectations, and also child care burden, the stress of caring for children. In general, for just women who are mothers, there are many challenges that are added to daily living. In women with HIV, there are some unique challenges that they face, and some potential benefits that they have that they can experience through motherhood. Some of the potential positives are that children may provide them with a reason to live, to fight for themselves, to care for themselves. It may help with, you know, getting on drug rehabilitation programs and avoiding risky behaviors. Children may also be a source of self-esteem, strength, provide pride and joy to women or mothers with HIV. And children can also be a source of support and unconditional love for mothers living with HIV. And in addition to that, we also know that there are challenges of being a mother, and for women with HIV, these challenges include the physical demands of raising children, which is a challenge for mothers in general, but even more so for women coping with the illness. We also know that mothers with HIV may put themselves in a situation, or just put in a situation where they have to balance caring for their children, providing and giving for their children, and caring for their own health. There is also the worry that their child will contract HIV, that being during pregnancy or also later in their lives. They have to cope with whether or not to disclose HIV status to their kids. And this worry about how to ensure the child's future with this potential situation of death, which is more salient for this population than for many people. It's been well established in the literature that women with HIV have higher rates of depression compared to women in the general population, and that depression is associated with rates of adherence. This is also true among mothers with HIV. And we also know that depression influences parenting styles and parenting practices. In particular, for women with HIV, depression is related to poor family cohesion, poor family sociability, a mother's ability to sustain social interactions with their children. Mothers are also, with depression, mothers with HIV are less able to perform typical like daily tasks, those associated with parenting and in general. And in these situations, we also know that from the literature that children have increased responsibilities in the household. There's also this concept of intergenerational transmission of parenting. such that both harsh and constructive parenting are passed down through the generations, so that a parent's own experiences growing up and being raised as a child influence their attitudes and their practices when they are parents. However, there is less focus on a positive intergenerational shift in parenting practices. So I want to focus a little bit more on that, on when there is a shift. McAdams does justice to this idea of redemption. The ability to make good sense of negative life experiences in figuring out who you are and then to then pass that on to the next generation, either through parenting, teaching, or other activities. In particular, I will be focusing on the parenting aspect. The literature also tells us that women, like women with HIV in general, there are certain coping strategies that are associated to HIV progression. As Leslie already noted, in terms of viral load, this is also true for mothers with HIV, such that active coping strategies, these include optimism, persistence, and they predict a decreased rate of HIV progression. So that's good. And then we have avoiding coping strategies, so things such as self-blame, denial, these tend to predict a faster rate of HIV progression. What the literature also tells us is that without intervention, these coping strategies are fairly stable among mothers that have HIV. All right, so putting all of that together, the aims of the current study are to first explore in the qualitative data and identify what themes emerge relating to parent-child relationships, this being in women with HIV and at risk for HIV. The second aim is to look at differences in parent-child relationship quality among women with and at risk for HIV. And the third, as I had mentioned in the title, is to examine how parent-child relationship quality relates to depression, coping strategy, and risk behaviors, which I will define. Okay, so I had several hypotheses. The first, and hopefully I can untangle these arrows for you. The first is that the hypothesis we predict that positive relationship quality or experiences will relate to a higher use of active coping strategies and will be related to lower use of avoiding coping, less depressive symptoms, and less risk engagement in risk behaviors. Second is that negative relationship quality or experiences, as described in the narratives, would relate to lower use of active coping strategies, higher avoidant coping, higher depressive symptoms, and risk behaviors. We also predicted that for women who talked about this redemptive type of parenting, similar to positive relationships, would predict a higher use of active coping strategies and lower avoiding coping, depression, and risk behaviors. And the idea here behind centrality is this evaluation of how important motherhood is for the participant as it is reflected in the narratives. And these were more exploratory in nature, looking at how they related to the coping strategies. Okay. The sample for this study were 123 HIV-positive and HIV-negative participants, mostly African-American women of low income that had about 72% had up to a high school education. Of note here, there were no differences in demographic variables with the exception of age. HIV positive women tended to be a little older, about 5 years on average, than the HIV negative women. As far as our outcome measures, the coping strategies that I focused on were in terms of active coping. We looked at optimism, so this is having a positive outlook on future outcomes and experiences, on persistence, the idea that to be determined to complete a task despite adversity and any barriers, and taking active steps in changing life circumstances or situations. And as far as the avoidant coping, we looked at rumination. So this is the idea of dwelling on the causes, the factors associated with negative emotional experiences. A little bit of pessimism, having a negative outlook on the future, also blaming the self for misfortune. We also looked at depression. This is assessed by the Center for Epidemiological Studies Depressive Symptom Scale, which is a reliable and widely used measure of depression symptoms. And the risk behaviors that we looked at included multiple partners, as evidenced by the narratives, unsafe sex, this is specifically looking at condom usage as described in the narratives. So the participant, actually one of Leslie's quotes, talked about how the participant didn't use condoms, so that's kind of using those themes of not using condoms, that's how unsafe sex practices was assessed. We also looked at self-reported substance use, specifically crack cocaine, heroin use, either in the last 6 months, in the past, or never having used. Leslie in great detail talked about the guided autobiographical memory task. So I won't go into the details for that, but I will talk about how we coded for the parent-child relationship codes. We did this with me and one coder and two small independent groups in order to look at our reliability. 40% of the narratives were coded. What it looks here like we were moderately to highly reliable in our codes, and then I continued and coded for the rest of the sample. And what we looked at descriptions of other relationships or experiences. These were comprised of talking about love, warmth, closeness with their children, and children having a positive impact on the participant's life. Negative relationships or experiences refer to experiences describing conflict with children, a lack of closeness or warmth. These are based on partially based on Roeder's model of parental acceptance rejection theory, but also based on the themes that emerge that were unique to these participants. And I already described what redemptive type parenting is, and centrality of motherhood, how important, as evidenced by the narratives, the idea of the motherhood of the participant was for him. These were all coded on a scale from 0 to 3, with 0 being like not present, to 3 being extensively there, or very salient. Here are some examples. Positive relationships. Here, this participant says that her second memory was when was life-changing for her, when she stopped using drugs completely. She says, "I was pregnant with my daughter, she's now 8 years old, and she really actually helped me change and mold my life. That's my angel, that's my girl." Negative relationships. This participant talks about how she rejected her child completely. She says, "I didn't want her, and when they brought her to me, I said, that's not my baby. She was conceived by a rapist. I want you to know that it's a very hard thing to have the baby you don't want. It's very hard. And I tried to overcompensate for what I knew I was feeling and tried to hide it from her, but she knew." Redemptive type parenting. I sort of landed on my feet because I look at all the things I have been through and the outcome of my life right now. Having my mom not raise me, having the kids. I could have been out there. But I took that and I looked at that and turned that around and said, no, I'm feeling a positive outlook. Look on that. And the centrality, this mother essentially says, the first memory that pops into her head is when she had her child. As far as the results, responding to the second aim of looking at differences, there were no differences among HIV positive women and HIV negative women. No differences in centrality or the parent-child relationship codes. And partial correlation, so this is responding to the third aim of the study. As far as how the parent-child relationship quality relates to coping strategies, we found that negative parent-child relationships or experiences was related to a higher use of rumination, pessimism, self-blame, and that redemptive type parenting was related to more active coping strategies, so optimism and persistence. We also found a few trends to somewhat support the idea that positive relationships with children are related to active coping and inversely related to avoidant coping. However, a bigger sample size might have pushed us right off that cutoff that we needed. Positive relationships were also negatively related to drug use, so lower levels of drug use and lower levels of unsafe sex. Negative relationships were related to a prior use of crack cocaine, heroin use. In conclusion, we find that negative relationships with children relate to avoidant coping strategies and more risk behaviors and depression, and that redemptive parenting relates to active coping. And we found some trends, but we need further support to show whether or not positive relationships with kids are related to active coping. There are some limitations. These results are correlational. It would have been nice to have self-report measures of parent-child relationships to corroborate the qualitative assessment. Also, the participants weren't specifically asked about their kids or about certain parts of child rearing in their lives, or about the child's age or the number of kids they had, so future studies. And this is all from the mother's perspective. Some of the implications: this will inform psychological treatments potentially, that being parent-child relationships being a target, and prevention strategies. Future directions would involve looking at causational effects and looking at things from the youth perspective. I just want to acknowledge the WISE participants and WISE, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. That's great. Thank you. Question? Anybody? Yeah, Bobby.
Is there any data for the kids?
That's a great question. I'm hoping to get some data from the kids.
Yeah, it's hard. WISE wasn't set up to get that information, but we're trying very hard. So hopefully Judy will really make an inroads by looking at that. Thanks. Yeah. Can you stand up? I can't hear you.
Dependent children currently, or are they ever?
Ever. Yeah, and as described in the narrative, yes. So ever had kids.
It's there, so you might have missed the beginning. They were asked to sort of three important events in their life, and then they was coded. Those narratives were coded. So many of them talked about their relationships with their children, which were both positive and negative. I see.
Young women, whereas we all, we know a lot more about the older women who are now
right.
And have survived.
And
Yeah,
and I think like what you're talking about provides further support for why we should really continue to look at this population and to, what I'm getting the sense that you're saying is also it's a point in which we should be looking at like treatment, like how can we target this population and help them get engaged in and to maintain adherence.
Their southern cohort, might give us some of that. There's new women being enrolled in the southern cohort, a little younger. Maybe that will be helpful for that. Okay, we should move on so we can have everybody speak. Thank you, Judy. The next speaker is Dana Brock-Siegel. Dana is a third-year doctoral student at the Clinical Psychology Department at BU, and she's particularly interested in the influence of gender roles, empowerment, and race on psychosocial and HIV health outcomes, and she's doing other work related to coping and leadership and mental health in young people in Rwanda.